checking in with top Maine legislators. The Maine legislature is in session in Augusta. Lawmakers have introduced more than 2,000 bills so far. As they cull through the titles and take them up in committees, it's clear that the legislature will be facing some hot-button issues. They are already facing a bill that would ban books from Maine schools that contain content viewed as obscene. Another bill would create a statewide, publicly owned power authority. And there's a proposal to permit legalized sports betting in Maine. Dozens of other states are considering similar measures. I'm Jennifer Rooks. As long as the legislature's in session, we will devote the first Monday of each month to a check-in with legislative leaders. And that's today. What are your questions? Maine Calling is next, but first, this news. From the Maine Public Radio studios, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. As the legislature awaits the governor's proposed budget, they are already at work on a range of issues. Joining me in our Augusta studio to talk about the work of the legislature so far this term, Dana Dow, the Senate Republican leader from Lincoln County, and Matt Moonen is the House Majority Leader and a Democrat from Portland. As always, we want to hear from you. Which issues do you want your elected officials to address? Our phone number 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. Welcome to both of you here at the Maine Calling table. And our audience would like to know that this is going to be a tradition for this legislative session, as it was last time, first Monday of every month, inviting legislative leaders on the program, or at least till hopefully May, not June or July, to talk about the issues. But Dana, why don't I just start with by asking you, how do you think the session's going so far? Characterize it for me.
Well, the session's going along fine. I mean, we're still in the honeymoon period, and I joke with people that I think the fan is starting to turn, but nobody's throwing anything yet. We're getting along pretty good, and that's been one of my goals, is to get along and treat everybody respectfully. Regardless of our opinions, we can do it all and do it in peace.
Matt, do you agree?
Oh, absolutely. First of all, thank you for having us on the show. Really appreciate it. Completely agree. You know, the session sort of gets off to a slow start, in particular in the House, because, you know, in the Democratic caucus, we have more than 30 new members. And I think the Republican caucus has about 20 new members. So there's a lot of orientation that has to happen in terms of just process and how things work and getting people up to speed. So, you know, a lot of that has been happening up to this point. And now we're really, as Senator Dow said, about to get into the part where the work is really happening.
And well, you're both in leadership, which means you've both served for a while. Would you say that the spirit, the tenor is different than in this point of the session years past or recent past?
Absolutely, I would. You know, as Senator Dow said, we're kind of in the honeymoon period. You know, campaigns can be intense and people have strong feelings. And of course, that's true. That was true this year, as it is with every campaign year. But after it's over, you really have to set that aside and focus on governing and getting the work done that the people of Maine need. And I think that's where everybody is right now.
Yeah. And Dana, in your view, same thing? Better than last time?
It's to me, it's not a choice of whether it's better or not. It's a choice of how you're going to do it anyway. And I'll always pick the side of coming down peacefully and respectfully to make sure that we get along good. To me, democracy is all about compromise. And if we out in left field, if everybody is at the tune of my way or the highway, nothing works. So you get a lot more done with honey than you do vinegar. And that's always my approach, always has been and will continue to be.
All right. Well, there are more than 2,000 bills from what I understand. Matt, what are the priorities of your caucus, the Democrats in the House?
Sure. So, you know, like everybody else, I think we're waiting with great anticipation to see what is going to be proposed in the governor's budget. But it's safe to say that there's a few priorities that we have that are really important to us that we're going to be working on either in the budget or in separate legislation or both. So one of those is property tax relief. There's a few forms that takes municipal revenue sharing. education funding, and then, of course, direct property tax relief through either the homestead exemption or the property tax fairness credit. So those are going to be a high priority for us. And then, of course, finally implementing the will of the people in terms of Medicaid expansion and getting access to the to healthcare to the Mainers who have been waiting a very long time for that.
All right, Dana, what about your caucus, Senate Republicans? What are your priorities?
One of the priorities has to do with making sure that we don't overtax ourselves. I consider us to be overtaxed already. We're 11th, 7th, 2nd highest taxes, depending on what survey you read, but yet we're 30th, 35th in income. So we always have to be aware of that to protect our businesses. It's been unfortunate over the decades that our population has been pretty stagnant. That's because a lot of young Maine families have moved out of state, literally, and we've lost 25% of our school age K-12 population since about 1970. And while other states are experiencing some decreases, not like the state of Maine. So I need to keep my priorities have to do with keeping everything business friendly, keeping businesses here, allowing businesses to expand, and making sure that people have good paying working jobs in Maine so they don't have to leave.
Well, you know, one of my questions for you all was going to be, are there any areas for bipartisan cooperation that are emerging? Is it music to your ears when you hear Matt say that he'd like to be working on property tax relief?
Yes, it is. Property tax relief is the biggest part of the tax of the three-legged stool. That's income, sales tax, and property tax. Property tax has the biggest part. So that would be nice to reduce that. But we can't go about it so that we're taking tax money out of one pocket and putting it in another. I don't want to take a dollar out of your left pocket and put 75 cents back in your right pocket in order to relieve that. So it has to be a good balance of tax reform and spending.
Matt, are you talking about whole-scale tax reform? I mean, this has been something talked about ever since I became a reporter in Maine 25 years ago.
I'm not, actually. You know, I know that there are certain folks who are always going to want to have that conversation and bring it back up. And, you know, we've had that conversation several times over the last decade. And in one way or another, it tends to fall apart. But, you know, I think we can really really focus on what we want to achieve in terms of tax relief. You know, we're in a really fortunate situation right now where we have a big surplus and revenues are coming in above projections to the state. And so I think we have the ability to have a conversation about what are our priorities that need to be funded, like Medicaid expansion, and what can we do that would provide some relief to Mainers. And, you know, the conversation for the last 8 years has been so focused on income taxes. And when we're the oldest state in the country, we have a lot of seniors living on fixed incomes. And the income tax is not their number one concern. It's property taxes. And so to the extent that we can target some relief towards that, I think I'm really optimistic that we can find some bipartisan agreement on that.
Well, Dana, Matt mentioned the governor's budget. She'll be bringing her proposal to legislative leadership, my understanding is Friday, followed up with an address to the state next Monday. I want to know, what are you looking for? What are you hoping to hear when Governor Mills comes to the legislative leadership and presents her budget?
Well, I'm looking forward to working with Governor Mills. I've known her for 14 years. When I was first in the Senate, she was in the House. I've known her a long time. I served with her brother, Peter Mills, in the Senate. I'm looking forward to a good working relationship. What I'm going to see for proposals, I'm not quite sure yet. I'm just hoping that they're fairly well balanced and that we can move this state forward in a good business climate, because we really do need to have a climate where businesses can grow well here and have businesses that want to move here. And it's a beautiful state to live in, but it isn't so good if the pay ends up lousy and businesses decide not to come in here because of too tight regulations or the taxes are too high.
Matt, what are you hoping to see in Governor Mills' budget?
Well, like I said, funding Medicaid expansion for sure. You know, we've heard repeatedly for years now from our towns who are really concerned about the impact of less municipal revenue sharing. So I'd like to see an increase in that. You know, I think we have the conversation every budget cycle about the state's failure to get to 55% of education funding. So, you know, I think there's some things like that that I'd like to see. And you know, we can speculate, but ultimately we'll have a lot more answers next week.
We're talking with legislative leadership. If you'd like to join the conversation, the phone number 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. Our email address, talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. Let's talk about some specific proposals we're already hearing about. And one is kind of appropriate the day after the Super Bowl, which is that Maine is one of many states now looking at legalizing some form of betting on sports. Apparently, a recent Supreme Court decision has sort of opened the door. We saw that it's already happening in Rhode Island. Matt, what do you think of this idea? And is this something your caucus is already talking about?
Yeah, I think folks are certainly aware of the Supreme Court decision that legalized sports betting last summer. You know, there's a number of bills in that will address this topic. You know, Maine has never been the fastest to adopt new gambling or gaming opportunities. So, you know, like you said, there's other states that have moved a lot faster to implement this. So I think we can take our time, have this conversation about who should do it, how it should be done, make sure that we're getting the best information from the other states about how they've done this so that we kind of avoid some pitfalls. But I definitely think this is a conversation we'll be having.
Dana, your thoughts?
Well, one of the pitfalls that I always see with gambling is it moves a lot of money out of state. Doesn't always benefit. We collect the taxes on it, but it moves a lot of wealth out of state. And I would like to see proposals that would keep the money here. Gambling set up by Maine corporations instead of out-of-state corporations, just to keep the money here. We need to concentrate on Maine businesses that can bring wealth into the state of Maine. So that'll be what benefits our people.
Sounds like you're both kind of open, but would like to proceed with caution.
That is definitely true. I'm not an expert at knowing about gambling. I always want to proceed with caution. I go back to the days with my father. We always went to horse races, and he liked to bet on the horses. It was a matter of what color are we going to pick today, son. So that's the extent of my gambling experience.
All right. Well, let's talk about the proposal that was big news last week and would really change the way the electricity system is set up in Maine, which would be creating a power authority, a publicly held power authority in the state of Maine. What are your early thoughts on this, Senator Dow?
My early thoughts are it doesn't appear to be a good idea. They were touting the fact that this model is based on a Nebraska model. Well, Nebraska went this way in 1933, and people need to realize that over half of the electricity production in Nebraska is from coal-fired plants, and a good quarter of it are nuclear plants, and I don't think that's a model we want to follow. Has to do with transmission of the electricity, not where it's coming from. I know that. But to have a bond for $4 to $5 billion to run our own electrical company doesn't seem like a very good idea to me. I don't know if anybody has the expertise to do that. I'd rather let private industry do that.
Representative Moonen, what are your thoughts about a publicly run power authority?
Yeah, so just as Senator Dow said, you know, the expertise thing, this is certainly outside of my expertise. But, you know, I think we do have a strong consensus that something has to be done about energy costs. You know, in Maine, we have power outages more often than in other states, and our power outages are of longer duration than in other states. So that is kind of a baseline problem that needs to be addressed. And then more recently, we've seen cost increases for CMP customers that have been insufficiently explained. So, you know, I think a lot of folks feel like something has to be done about the issues that we're seeing with CMP. And, you know, this is one proposal, and I think we can take a look at a bunch of different proposals and see what makes sense.
What kind of gun control measures do you expect to see, and do you see them gaining any traction here, especially the red flag measures that have been talked about so much in other states?
Yeah, so I would expect the red flag bill to return. We did have it last session in the legislature. It is an issue that has passed in multiple states around the country. Both, you know, Democratic and Republican controlled legislatures have passed that. You know, it's really a pretty simple and minor step that we can take to help someone who's in crisis is really what that bill is about. You know, we have serious challenges with folks who are struggling with mental health, and we have folks who are high rates of suicide by gun. And so I think to the extent that the red flag bill, if it became law, could it help a family member intervene with one of their family members who is in crisis and get them some help, that would be a good thing.
Dana?
The red flag bill could help some people, but I think the main issue has to do with our lack of mental health. That's a nationwide problem, by the way. There just don't seem to be enough services out there to deal with mental health people that need the services. We see it in the jails a lot. The sheriffs are always complaining about they don't have the staff to compete with it, yet they have a lot of these people that are there. And so I would like to see some efforts put along that line. As far as the gun control, there needs to be a comprehensive look taken with a situation that has several solutions that deal with our schools that can be helped by some good common sense values out of the Sportsman's Alliance of Maine also. And they're going to come up with some proposals that have some good common sense without taking away gun rights.
So you foresee some more legislation that's not even in the pipeline yet coming forward on that has to do with firearms?
I don't know whether it's legislation or just some good common sense values that we can all look at and agree. It may go into the form of legislation.
All right. Well, this is Maine Calling. We're talking with legislative leadership. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. Our email address, talk@mainepublic.org. You can tweet at Maine Calling or post to our Facebook page. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do Folia, in Portland's Old Port, where you'll find jewelry by Maine designers, as well as custom design and repair services. FoliaJewelry.com. And McVetti's Hearth and Home, offering gas, wood, and pellet stoves and fireplaces in its Yarmouth showroom. More at StovesOfMaine.com.
Hello, I'm Mark Vogelzang, President and CEO of Maine Public. Our Super Thursday pledge drive is right around the corner, February 7th, and it's the right time to stand up and support your NPR station, Maine Public Radio, with a financial gift, either monthly or one time. The need for independent journalism, quality in-depth programming, and trusted content has never been greater. And I'll also share with you that this public radio station reaches more Mainers each week and touches more lives than at any time in our history, thanks to the many contributions, large and small, that come from over 50,000 households every year. So please step up and do your fair share, maybe even a little bit more than you've done in the past, on Super Thursday the 7th. Together, we'll take care of the business of public radio so that this independent, trusted news service remains strong and vibrant. Note also that if you'd like to pledge now and help us toward those goals, you can online at mainpublic.org. Thanks.
Super Thursday is coming up this Thursday, but you can contribute right now at mainpublic.org or by calling 1-800-866-1475.
Valentine's Day is fast approaching, so let Maine Public Classical take the stress away from finding that perfect gift. Submit a dedication to your loved one by February 12th to mainpublic.org, and you may be one of five listeners receiving a delicious box of chocolates from Dean Sweets. Be sure and join me, Robin Rylette, on Valentine's Day from 9 to noon.
Love her too. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, the latest news from the legislature. Joining me in our Augusta studio, Dana Dow, the Senate Republican leader. He is from Lincoln County. And Matt Moonen, the House Majority Leader, a Democrat from Portland. We invite you to join the conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org. Tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. We'll start in Manchester with David. Hi, David. Go ahead. You're on Maine Calling.
Hi. Hey, I got a very brief question, and that is there anything that can be done legislatively about robocalls? And I'll take the answer.
Good question. Okay, thanks, David. Is this something that, as you all were campaigning, you're hearing about?
You know, it wasn't, actually. I don't recall hearing a lot about robocalls. Again, probably outside of my expertise, but I am sure that we have existing laws about harassment in terms of phone calls. So I think if this is a real problem, or, you know, we could reexamine those and see if there's something else that we could do. But
well, I get complaints on robocalls during campaigns and stuff, and just a few of them. I mean, you get a handful of them, but a lot of them irritate me, too, and I'm trying to figure out some system. I know there is a system through the phone company that I can go through that will cut them out, and I probably will go that route. And they can cut out the robocall because it requires a second effort to get through to your phone, and the robocalls don't do that. So that would eliminate them. That's what I'm going to do.
So your sense is that this is something that doesn't need a legislative remedy, but that there may be something out there people can do.
Yeah, I don't know how to legislate it because all the calls that are now coming through, I see my own 832 numbers as if it was generated in Walterboro. When they have an Augusta number, I automatically answer it because I think it's somebody at the state house that needs me or something like that. So I am picking up a lot of calls. And so I get irritated when people are trying to fool me. But I don't think there's a legislative solution to it.
David, thanks for your call. A tweet from Marfine. Given news on measles outbreak in Northwest and outbreaks here in Maine schools, is there movement and strong support for tightening vaccination exceptions? And there is legislation, isn't there, that would tighten vaccination exceptions?
Yes, there is. And I had a gentleman speaking to me in the hall today, and he was concerned about having the exceptions taken away, I believe. But I'm an old school teacher, and I believe that in order to be safe in schools, we should do all we can to prevent diseases. And so I kind of come down on the side of vaccinations. But we have to take a look at a bill and use common sense to see what the exceptions are. You can't go... it isn't a one-shoe-fits-all type of deal.
Yeah, I agree with Senator Dow. You know, we have the concept of herd immunity. And, you know, there are a lot of cases where someone is too young to get vaccinated. And so they are protected when the folks older than them are vaccinated. And then there's some folks who can never be vaccinated for various health reasons. And so if they can never have that protection, they are protected when everyone around them has the vaccine and is unlikely to contract it and pass it on to them. So, you know, anything that we can do to protect, as Senator Dow said, all of the kids in our schools and make sure that they have that herd immunity is a good thing for the people of Maine.
So it sounds like there is definitely some bipartisan support for this, and we'll see going forward.
Yes, there'll be some good bipartisan talk on, and I think common sense will prevail on this type of issue.
We have an email from Karen. Maine Senator Lisa Keim in Oxford is sponsoring Bill LR 1020, an act to eliminate the double taxation of out-of-state pensions. Some of us retirees move to Maine and receive state pensions that originated in another state. We already contributed as employees to retirement benefit plans, but the state of Maine does not recognize these contributions, and we have to now pay a Maine income tax. Thus, we are double taxed. All of us impacted by this unfair system would appreciate Maine legislators supporting and even co-sponsoring Senator Keim's bill. Is this something you all have been following?
Somewhat. Always a problem about taxing retirement funds, and I would rather see most retirement funds excluded from taxation. The people have worked hard their entire lives, and they deserve what they're going to get now, and they deserve, to me, not to have to pay overburden of extra tax on this income.
Yeah, I completely agree. You know, double taxation is a problem. Senator Dow was most recently the chair of the Taxation Committee, so I think he can correct me if I'm wrong on this. But I think there's a certain dollar amount that is exempt for pensions. And so I think we can, if we can't look at eliminating it altogether, maybe we could look at increasing the exemption. You know, I think there's a lot of options that we could consider. So
that's true. There is an exemption for a certain amount. And so we always need to be aware to keep those amounts adjusted to common day expenses and inflation rates.
We have an email from Greg. The recent federal government shutdown had a severe negative impact on federal employees that live in Maine. Would your two guests support a fund to compensate these employees if the government shuts down again? These people provide essential safety services at our marine terminals, airports, and border crossings. They deserve to be paid for making our citizens safe.
I don't know about a fund. What has happened in the banking industry is that we were in the legislature, we were going to try to introduce a bank to help these people get interest-free loans. Come to find out there were many banks in Maine that were willing to do that and going to do that anyway. So there's been a great help that way. I don't see the need to create something if a private industry is willing to take care of that.
Yeah, to Senator Dow's point, I know Senate President Troy Jackson had a bill that would have that was introduced at the height of the crisis of the shutdown that would have had the state guarantee loans to federal workers who were struggling to pay their bills during that shutdown. That bill still exists. I think it'll still go forward for a public hearing and work session. Hopefully, we're not in another shutdown anytime soon, and we can really work it through the process in a thoughtful way that makes sense without having that crisis hanging over us.
We'll go to Chris, who's calling from Bar Harbor. Hi, Chris. Go ahead.
Hi. Yes, I'd like to have them look at addressing the fireworks issue. Maine was a very quiet state prior to the LePage administration allowing fireworks use year-round. It's disturbance to neighbors. It's pollution to both noise and to the water sources when it falls into water ponds and stuff when people use them. So going back to just like 2 days, 4th of July and Christmas would be fine. So that's my question, if they could address that.
All right. Any movement to return Maine's fireworks bills or laws to how they were before?
You know, I'm not aware of whether or not there's a bill dealing with that issue. That certainly was a dramatic change for the state of Maine when that happened a few years ago. And I do believe that that change did allow municipalities to set their own local policies. So, I'd love to know if that's correct. And I would think that towns could enact their own local restrictions on that.
This got nothing to do with Republican or Democratic view. This is my own view. I voted against all those laws to allow fireworks to begin with. I felt it was important to keep our neighborhoods the way that Maine people like to keep them, and that to eliminate some of those noise problems. I know it's a lot of fun, and it built up a kind of a little industry in Maine, but personally, nothing to do with my caucus, because I haven't asked my caucus about this. I personally voted against it and would vote against it again if the issue came up, whether we were going to allow the fireworks in Maine or not.
And you all aren't aware of those 2,000 bills that are before you. That's one of them. All right. Well, Chris, thank you for calling. An email from Dan. Will the legislature address Maine's miserable broadband finally this session? The legislature has been giving only lip service since 2012. If you want to keep our young and attract businesses, build fiber to throughout the state.
Yeah, that's certainly a high priority in my caucus. I've heard Governor Mills on the campaign trail and even since talk about that being a high priority for her. When we're talking about an environment that's conducive to business, you know, we need to understand that business in the modern world really depends on high-speed internet. And if we want people to feel like they can live here and work here, they need to be able to know that they can get their job done. And high-speed internet is a part of that. And expanding it everywhere should be a priority for all of us.
As a businessman, I always like to make good business decisions and invest in our businesses. And I think one of the best things that we could do would be to invest in a good broadband system and a high-speed internet. It would benefit all businesses and allow businesses to grow, especially in the rural areas where we have the least. That's where the biggest problem lies, although I've heard some of the cities say that there's certain parts of the city they can't get it in. So to me, it's a huge issue, and I would love to see the state move forward on it. The problem is there's only so much money, so when we start dividing up the money and deciding what the priorities are and where the money's spent, a lot of times this gets left out. But I would like to see it put higher on the list of priorities.
A tweet from IceFlame12. What is the best way to contact your local senator or representative regarding new bills? Are representatives required to respond to constituents? And what about responding to other Mainers not in their district?
Sure. So the state legislature's website lists all of our email addresses and phone numbers. So, and it's got our picture on there. You can make sure you found the right person you're looking for and look us up and contact us those ways. You know, we also have offices in the State House for our caucuses, not for us as individuals. So, you know, if you want to get in touch with the House Democratic office or the Senate Republican office, that's another way to go to get in touch with someone that you're trying to get in touch with. I don't think there's any requirement that we have to respond. You know, I think most of us probably put a high priority on responding to the folks who live in our districts and who we were elected to represent. So,
And I have to throw a little bit of common sense in there also. We would like to respond to all the emails that we get, but sometimes I know as chairman of the Taxation Committee and now as leader of the Republicans in the Senate, I get so many emails that all I'd be doing would be responding to emails all day long, and that's not possible because I couldn't get any of the rest of the work done. Many times we'll get 50 or 100 emails that say exactly the same thing with a different signature, a different name on them, and this won't happen, but I wish I could get one email with the 50 names on it. It would be a little bit more effective, but that won't happen. It's just sometimes impossible to get through all of the myriads of emails that we have.
We'll go to Nemo calling from Stu Ben. Hi, Nemo. Go ahead.
Hi. I keep thinking that we need more skills, the skills that migrants could bring to the state that LePage was so much against. And education, you don't get it free. I hear very little in the tax programs about education. Everyone wants to reduce the taxes, but if you don't educate the state, we're not going to have industries and a base and a reason to stay here.
Okay, Nemo, I've got your question. Next time, turn off the radio before you call. More funding for education, perennial issue.
Sure, absolutely. You know, I think we've heard a lot about Maine's demographic winter. And I think as we look at the next 6 or 7 years, we're facing a lot of folks who are nearing retirement in this state. And so it's really important that we think very purposefully about how we build the workforce that's going to replace all those folks that retire and keep our state running and working and a good place for business and all of that. And so that is early childhood education, K through 12 funding, higher ed funding for our career and technical education centers. You know, all of those have to fit together in a way that helps us prepare the workforce for the future.
Education is one of the most important issues. I'm an old school teacher, so I believe in education. But to me, there is a problem trying to find the funding. And the funding has to do with the fact that too many businesses and too many people have left the state of Maine, and we're having trouble funding programs. Doesn't matter whether it's education, Medicaid expansion, revenue sharing, when we have a stagnant population, we've been doing something wrong in the state, which has been encouraging people to leave. We don't have the oldest population in the country for no reason at all. It's because all our young people have left. We've got to do things in this state which encourage people to stay, which means we've got to encourage the companies to stay and the companies to grow. We haven't done that much of that in the last 50 years. And I say 50 years because in 1970 was when we had our peak in our school age population of 240,000 K-12 students. We're now under 180,000 and expected to bottom out around 165. So we're expecting to lose more. We haven't done the things that we need to do to encourage businesses to stay and grow and hire people. And so our young people, young families have left. Those are the priorities to me that need to be looked at first before we take on these issues about where we're going to get all the money. There has to be a source for it.
We'll go to Pam, who's calling from Owl's Head. Hi, Pam. Go ahead.
Hi. This is a question for Senator Dow. At the beginning of the program, they asked you what your legislative priorities would be for the coming session. And if you could leave the taxes off the table for the moment, not off forever, just for the moment, what would your priorities be?
My priorities would be a good tax reform package that would encourage businesses to grow and stay here. Massachusetts has done it. We used to joke at Massachusetts and call them Taxachusetts. They, as a very progressive state, have switched to a flat tax, which is just a tick over 5%. And I just want to be able to compete with them. In North Carolina, they've developed a plan where they every year have been reducing income and corporate taxes. That state population in the last 5 or 6 years has increased. 750,000 people have moved in to work at the new businesses that have developed in North Carolina. And those are the types of things that I would like to do. So I would give anything to have a real tax reform package that looks forward to increasing the wealth of the state of Maine. Then we can have the money for Medicaid expansion, education, and some of the other problems, the opioid crisis, and some of these other problems that we have here in the state of Maine.
Pam, thanks for your call. We'll be right back with more of your calls and questions in just a minute. You're listening to Maine Calling.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do Coffee by Design, a locally owned business committed to quality. Roasted to order coffees available online at coffeebydesign.com. Ocean View at Falmouth, announcing Cumberland Crossing, its new sister retirement community in Cumberland. CumberlandCrossingRC.com. And Evergreen Home Performance, dedicated to helping homeowners qualify for Efficiency Maine energy audit and insulation rebates. More at evergreenyourhome.com.
The government shutdown is over, and President Trump will finally address the nation from inside the House chamber. Will party leaders settle on a plan for border security?
If we make a fair deal, the American people will be proud of their government for proving that we can put country before party.
I'm Mary Louise Kelly. Join me for NPR's special coverage of the 2019 State of the Union Address from NPR News.
That's coming up tomorrow evening at 9 o'clock on both Maine Public Radio and Maine Public Television. And coming up in just a few minutes at 2 o'clock, the case for populism on ideas from the CBC. Trump was just the tip of the iceberg. Since his election in 2016, populism has blazed a trail across Europe and North America. While many of these movements are marred by racist and nationalistic rhetoric, they also represent a grassroots effort to challenge the political status quo. Ideas presents a public debate over whether this new era of political disruption should be embraced rather than feared. That's Ideas from the CBC coming up at 2 o'clock right here on Maine Public Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, the Maine Legislature. We have legislative leaders with us today. Joining us, Dana Dow, the Republican leader in the Senate. He's from Waldoboro. Matt Moonen, House Majority Leader, Democrat from Portland. Join our conversation at 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. Lots of calls standing by, so be patient if you can't get through. We have an email from Hugh. What bills look promising for the promotion of electric vehicles? I share Senator Dow's concern about money that we spend leaving the state, and I'm guessing 95 cents out of every dollar spent on gasoline goes immediately out of state because we do not mine or refine petroleum. You all aware of electric vehicles?
Yes.
Legislation? Go ahead.
Electric vehicles are the wave of the future, and we need to develop the policies for those and the charging places where they can be charged up. That's all part of a growing industry, and I think industry can have a lot to do with it. The other part of the problem is if you're not buying gasoline that pays the gas taxes, then you've missed out on the money that maintains the roads. And roads are another important infrastructure. My father, who was in the Senate, he was from Aroostook County, even though he represented Lincoln County the same as I do, way back in the 50s and early 60s. But he always used to say, you got to have good roads to get the potatoes out of Aroostook. And I always knew what he meant by that. You got to have a good road system in order to have a good commerce and a vibrant economy in the state of Maine. So while the electric vehicles are a wave of the future, we also need to be aware that they need to pay their fair share somehow of the expenses that are required to keep the highways going.
Thoughts matter.
Yeah, I agree that they're the wave of the future. You know, as we think about climate change and the threat it poses to our state, you know, the Gulf of Maine is warming at a dramatic rate. Acidification is a real problem. CO2 emissions are a cause of some of these challenges that we are facing. So when we're talking about electric vehicles, we're talking about ways that we can impact our emissions and help take on that climate change issue. So anything we can do to support that would be good.
We go to Alexandra calling from Scarborough. Hi, Alexandra. Go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. I'll be quick. I wanted to suggest support for LD's 330, which is being supported by the Health Coverage, Insurance, and Financial Services Committee. And we have a hearing on February 14th. And what we're seeking is we hope that the consumer who seeks massage therapy can be guaranteed that what services they're getting is qualified and a trained professional, as opposed to something that may be more sketchy. And we want the language to include that this is a healthcare practice and that we are healthcare practitioners. And this will ensure
Alexandra,
that the consumer,
is this?
Thank you. Yeah.
Alexandra, can you hear me? Is this something similar to something that's happened in other states? Is this a sort of a licensing bill?
It is in addition to what already exists on the books. It's already in Maine. We require 500 hours in order to be licensed. And then you also have to have insurance. But there are still some gaps we feel in Maine that need to be tightened. And it would be a very simple bill to support. So we hope that folks and legislators will consider supporting and giving their yes to this. Thank you.
All right, Alexandra, thanks for calling. Is this something that either of you has been following so far this session?
I've heard it mentioned, that's all. And my feeling about all medical bills is we need to take a good look at them. There are some areas where we need tight standards, but there's also some areas like dentistry where we're lacking in the rural areas that we need to have bills that will allow those communities to have access to some kind of a dental care taken care of by not necessarily full dentists, but under the guidance of full dentists. So this is an area. I don't know where massage falls into this area.
Yeah, I would just say, you know, I agree with a lot of what Senator Dow just said. You know, we have licenses for a reason. You know, the people of Maine need to know that someone who has been licensed by the state of Maine is going to follow the appropriate standard practices and standard of care so that they can feel confident that they're getting what they think they're getting when they go to someone. And the state-issued license is a way of doing that. At the same time, you know, there are problems with access in a lot of areas around the state, particularly rural areas. And so I think, you know, it is possible to incentivize folks to serve underserved areas like rural places in Maine without sacrificing the quality that folks can be assured of when they see a license from the state.
Alexandra, thank you for calling in. I'm going to go quickly through a couple different a tweet and an email and a call all on the same topic. A tweet from Representative Seth Berry, proposal for At Maine Power is an approach proven in much of the country. As Representative Moonen noted, our CMP rates are among the highest in the nation and we have the worst reliability. Currently, we send hundreds of billions of years overseas to fund a monopoly. Not good for business. Of course, Representative Berry being the sponsor of the bill to create a power authority. An email from Harold on a related note. As a customer of CMP, I've seen my bills increase at a rate far exceeding my net usage. The time for a Maine power authority is here. Let's make the public happy rather than CMP stuck. Holders. And we'll go to a call about this topic and then we're going to move on. So, Rick, go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. This is Rick Savage from Bethel. I'm a conservative and a Republican, and I'm back in Seth Berry's Maine Power Authority and trying to buy out AmeriMaine and Central Maine Power with their rate increases and what's been going on with labor in Maine. I feel the restaurants, the small convenience stores are going to be really hurt by high power bills. And I think it's going to put a lot of them out. We own a store and a restaurant. And it's just going to hurt the smaller ones a lot. And I'm hoping that we're going to get the backing from the Republicans and everybody in the state to make this happen. And I was just trying to get the view of the senator on that.
All right. Well, thanks, Rick. And I know you both have spoken about it a little while. And Senator Dow, how would you characterize your point of view on this? Nope, no way, or I'm not sure. Let's wait and see what it looks like.
Well, I do need to wait and see what it looks like, but just the same, I don't think you're going to solve the costs that Maine people pay without bringing in cheap power into the state of Maine. And if power can come into all New England, because we're part of the New England grid, and our power expenses have something to do with what all of New England pays. So I don't look at the transmission as the problem. I look at just the general cost of producing it is what increases the power. We have some of the most expensive power costs in the country. That is all New England does. And that's something that needs to be addressed if Maine and New England are going to grow in the future. I'm not sure the transmission of it is the source of the problem.
Rick, thank you. Do you have anything to add, Representative?
Yeah, I would just say that, you know, Long Island did exactly what Representative Berry's bill proposes about 20 years ago in the late 90s. And they saw a significant drop in the cost of power after they did that. And so, you know, like I said earlier, this is one option on the table. But to the caller's point, you know, when we have Mainers and ratepayers really struggling with the dramatic increases in their power costs, without sufficient explanation for why those dramatic increases are happening, I think we need to look at all options, including this one.
All right. Thanks, Rick. We'll go to Orland and Margaret. Hi, Margaret. Go ahead.
Hi. Well, I'm concerned about traffic safety on the roads in Maine, and specifically in my community here in Orland with the Castine Road down to Maine Maritime Academy. And people who live on that road, and I live just around the corner from it, their hearts are thumping when they go out to get their mail or even to leave their driveway so they don't get sideswiped with this traffic that is 20, 30 miles over the speed limit, quite typically, because I've watched the signs showing that. And we've tried all kinds of things, but we are finding that we can't get additional police coverage, surveillance that way without, because there are not enough police. They're saying they're having enough people, they're having trouble recruiting enough people to join the force. And so they're understaffed all around. And so we're hoping that we could get automated cameras on the road that would allow a record of the license plate and the speed of a vehicle so that a warning could be sent to the owner. And so far right now, I think on the books, it's illegal to do that. So we're asking permission to be able to do that in our local community. And hopefully that will give us some power to feel less fraught and scared when we're, and also isolated from our neighbors. So I'm wondering.
Sure, interesting issue. Yeah, yeah, interesting issue, Margaret. And I know that this happens around the world, that somehow a license plate is captured if somebody is, say, running a toll or speeding. Is this something that you all have heard discussed as a possible change in Maine law?
I haven't heard that discussed as much. A little bit over the years I have about putting cameras up in certain dangerous intersections. My advice to the caller is to go to her town board and ask the board to request a traffic study of a certain section of dangerous road that she's talking about. The highway committee, if they're asked, the DOT will come in and do a traffic study. But you got to realize that when they do a traffic study, they may lower the speed limit. They may actually increase the speed limit in a certain area of highway. But I would recommend that you go that route first and get your town selectman to request that a traffic study be done on the section of road that you're talking about.
Margaret, thank you for your call and good luck to you. We'll go to Andrew in Blue Hill. Hi, Andrew. Go ahead. You're on Maine Calling.
Yeah, hi. I'm one of the young families everybody keeps talking about keeping in Maine. And we are pretty environmentally conscious. I'm from up north, and it seems like cell phone towers are going up just about everywhere. And I know the big push is now for 5G, and I also have a business. And I don't know. We've read a lot of studies saying that it causes leukemia in children, that it kills the bees, a lot of negative effects. And people just seem to want to push it through and think it's the best thing, and we're all really concerned, and that's a big push for where we're going to live permanently. And I was just curious if you guys had anything to say about that.
Sure. Thanks, Andrew. Any discussion about 5G and the growth of the next cell phone technology?
Well, I'm not aware of the studies that the caller mentioned or the impacts that he's discussing. I mean, you know, similar to broadband, I think that cell phone coverage is necessary in life, and you know, in terms of business, in terms of daily life, being able to keep in touch with family, coworkers, all of that. So, you know, I think we have problems with cell phone coverage in this state, just like we do with broadband access. And so, it makes sense to me that that would be expanding. But you know, on some of the other side effects that the caller was talking about, I just don't have the knowledge of those.
And being a science teacher, I have trouble sometimes reading articles about the health effects of electromagnetic power lines and smart meters, and I just don't know what to think of all of that. And so we do need extensive use of broadband, but I think also as a science teacher, I think cell towers are not part of the future as much as satellites will be to control all of this.
Andrew, thanks for your call. It is our last call. We're almost out of time. Thank you to our legislative leaders here, Matt Moonen, a Democrat, House Majority Leader, Dana Dow, a Republican, Senate Minority Leader. Nikki Shields ran the board. We had help from Mal Leary. Thanks, Mal. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.